First and Now is your official BC Lions podcast. And then there were six games to go. Young Nick, Matt Baker, Nick Kowalski coming off a bye. We're refreshed. We're ready to go. Autumn's in the air. Nick was with my wife and daughter in Whistler for part of the bye week. And my daughter, 4 years old, Libby, pointed out that some leaves on the trees are getting brown. Moral of the story, it's heating up.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere. Labor Day came.
Not heating up temperature-wise. I'm kind of contradicting myself, but you know what I mean. You know, push to the playoffs.
Stretch run, yeah.
NFL's starting. Hockey's about to start. It's a good time of year.
Yeah, and what more could you ask for? 8-4 with six games to go. It's first place, still definitely in the possibilities. Kind of control our own destiny right now, and it's exciting times, especially with all these home games coming up as well.
Yep, so two back in the loss column for Winnipeg. Two back in the win column, sorry. One in the loss column, of course. Game in hand after the bye. Winnipeg will have a bye next week. They'll go into Hamilton. We'll kick around some of these out-of-town games. Before we're done here, we'll hear from Josh Banks, Lions defensive lineman, as well as our running back coach Tristan Dice, a cool family connection playing Ottawa this week. But yeah, Lions very much in control, getting back in the win column. That was needed. You couldn't fall to two full games behind the Bombers in this quest, in this race for first place, because since we last talked to you, fans and listeners, on First and Now, Winnipeg has had a home-and-home with Saskatchewan, and boy, oh boy, did they put a beating on their Prairie rivals in the Banjo Bowl. You knew that was going to be a tough situation for Saskatchewan based on how the first game went, a little bit of controversy like we discussed. But let's focus on this Lions win in Montreal. Was a little nerve-wracking, kind of back and forth, a lot of momentum swings, a lot of bend-but-don't-break Lions defense, but allow a couple of big plays. William Stanback, touchdown run to start the fourth quarter, the big one there. But thankfully, they just kept training punches, and they threw the final punches. A nice gutsy win in a place that's not easy for the Lions to win, let's be honest. Montreal, long trip, loud crowd. Alouettes were hungry to win as well. Very impressive way to come out.
Yeah, in the fourth quarter, like, you got all these potential season-altering plays for really both teams now, because Montreal's kind of, since we last talked, they've kind of been on a bit of a downward spiral a bit with losing to Toronto. But that fourth quarter, you talk about it, Stanback gets that run to put them ahead, but the Lions respond back, and then the Alouettes fake that punt with, I think, under 5 minutes to go, and suddenly they're in a spot to take the lead in the final 5 minutes in our territory.
Good then, call, good execution. Yeah.
And the very next play, Quincy Mojet gets his first career interception, and then obviously another TJ Lee interception to close it out. So that was another key moment, was to get back in the takeaways, right? Like, they weren't coming earlier, but they came in the fourth quarter.
We said it on the episode we did 2 weeks ago, the last episode we did. They're snake bitten as far as all these turnovers. How many dropped interceptions did we see in Saskatchewan? I think it was. And Hamilton allowing the Tiger Cats to pick up chunk yards, not taking the ball away. And I was thinking the whole time, when they get out of this turnover slump, it better be a big one. And boy, oh boy, it was a big one. And shout out to TJ Lee, had the one to put the final nail in the coffin. Now in the top 10 all-time amongst Lions and defenders, 25 career interceptions. So we talked about Montreal's running game with Stanback there almost coming back to haunt us, but the Lions' ground game, impressive. Over 100 yards on the ground, 68 for Mizell. Vernon Adams Jr. had 54. I think he had like 36 of those on the opening drive alone. That opening drive, the first Lions scoring drive, not their opening drive, their second drive of the game, I think it was, where pocket collapses, he gets out of trouble, he doesn't hang on to the ball too long, he just sees a seam and he goes, and they were able to earn valuable field position there. That's going to be an element to this game, these final six games. Again, we talked about it, going outside a couple more times, maybe having to go outside in November, we shall see. We'll take it one game at a time. We'll talk about this with Tristan Dice in a few moments, but it's good to see this running game improving game by game as these games get more crucial.
Yeah, and you mentioned that first drive, and it almost feels like it was maybe a forgotten about element of that game, because it was really a drive where the Lions offense they weren't settling for anything less than a touchdown, and that's what it ended up being, with Alexander Holland scoring his first of two in the game. But the Lions went for it on third down that drive too. I think that's something people forget, where VA hit McInnes for a first down on that drive, and then VA using his legs to extend the drive, not afraid to take off, and took some hits on that drive too. And then that very final drive too, it's that clock eating. Started with a run. I think it was a 9-yard run to Mizell right off the bat, and then they just really ran it down the whole field, got a penalty to help out, and then it ends with Mizell's first ever rushing touchdown in the CFL. So those are, just nice things to see in a game where momentum was going back and forth. That was one of the more entertaining games I think we've been a part of. And nerve-wracking too, right? There were some season-altering plays that ended up going our way, thankfully. Yeah.
And again, it was crucial to keep pace in this division. And you know, it's funny, you mentioned the third down play. Obviously, props to Rick Campbell and Jordan Maksimek for having the confidence to be able to pick up the yards in that situation. One of my buddies texted me, he said, somehow I'm less nervous on third and five than I am on third and inches with this team. It's kind of, hey, you know what? If you can convert one of those from time to time, that's situational football. And they call it gambling for a reason, and the gamble paid off.
Yeah, and then on short yardage too, it's something that can, I know there was a couple turnovers these past month, but that's hopefully what a bye week can fix, right? You look at the film, evaluate it, and correct it going forward, and it's going to be pivotal. I mean, the West semifinal last year with that trick play with Antonio Pipkin, that was kind of the nail in the coffin, right? So we see how important those short yardage plays can be, and whoever can gain an advantage there can really set themselves up nicely to win a football game, right? So those plays are very important, especially as, like you said, the weather starts turning.
And you, we touched on this on BC Lions on Tap, I believe. The energy, the emotion on the sideline was far and away better than it was against Hamilton, and I think that played a big role.
And it starts off with, we posted this pregame, but VA is breaking it down in the huddle, and usually that's a spot that's reserved for Dominique Rimes when he's dressing. Even when Rimes hasn't been playing, he's been still breaking it down, but TJ will usually do one of the breakdowns. Keon Hatcher has been stepping up. Gary Peters has done it, but I think VA made an emphasis to, it was him that he wanted his voice heard first, right? And it really started with him. And I mean, we talk about it on and on about his leadership style, but everything starts with him, right? And this, as being a leader on this team, and I think it really carried on throughout the roster. And you saw it firsthand. Like, they were lively all game, and I think they knew they had to be.
Even when things weren't going so well, there wasn't a lot of heads hanging, guys staying encouraged, that they were confident they were going to get it back, and they did. So, very impressive. They opened September with a gritty win in Montreal. 4 of 6 remaining games in this regular season at home at Save-On Foods Field at BC Place. We'll just focus on what's in front of us now. The Ottawa Redblacks coming in, Nick. Losers of 5 in a row, I think it is. They've played some close games in there. Had an exciting finish against Hamilton last week. Was watching chunks of that game up in the condo in Whistler. Our Airbnb was good to get away for a few days again, but keeping my tabs on the sports scene always when I can. This is an Ottawa team that will not be taken for granted. We saw firsthand the last home game. The Hamilton Tiger Cats just came in and grounded and pounded their way for 60 minutes. The Lions seemed to have no answer. If that was not a lesson and a wake-up call, I'm not sure what is, Nick. And talking to a couple of guys already early in this practice week, we're going to hear from Josh Banks here shortly on this podcast episode. Dustin Crumbs was a bit of a feel-good story for a couple of weeks. It's still a guy who can scramble and make plays. This Ottawa team, there will be no looking past them.
Yeah, and I got to imagine the Lions coaching staff are preaching a couple things with Ottawa, and the fact that, they're 3-9, but you look at some of these losses. They lost July 28th. They lose by 4 to Hamilton. The next week, they lose by 2 at Regina. They put up 31 at Toronto the next week. They lose by 1 to Montreal the next week. So it's not like they're getting blown out and
they're
free spot on the bingo card, but they're a competitive football team. And Dustin Crum can create a lot of problems. It's always frustrating when a quarterback can take off, right? So, and he does that very well. He's a top 10 rusher in the entire CFL at this point. But, and then you look at the other thing with Ottawa, I think is very important, is that even if you are up on this team, I mean, the Winnipeg game, they're winning by, I think they're up by 16 points, I think, with 3 minutes to go. And they're down by 16.
Yeah.
and Dustin Crum leads an overtime comeback over the
last second touchdown run and a two-pointer to tie it. And,
over the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, so no slouch, right? So,
exactly.
So even if you are up on this team, you can't let your foot off the gas because they've displayed the ability to come back, and especially with Crum, right? Like he can make magic happen whenever, and he's shown that he's not afraid to get his hands dirty too.
Yep. Crum has sort of supplanted himself as the guy there now with their injuries, right? Unfortunately, Jeremiah Masoli did not have a successful comeback, injuring the Achilles, and wish him all the best. But, you know, on the flip side of that, too, you never want it to be the situation. But seeing some of these younger quarterbacks take these opportunities, look at what Mr. Powell, Taylor Powell's doing with Hamilton, speaking of them. You know, it's good for the league to have depth at quarterback in all markets. Yeah, Jalen Acklin on pace for over 1,000. Devontae Williams out of the backfield. We're gonna talk about those matchups all week long. But I'm having deja vu because remember last year Ottawa did not have a successful season in the win-loss record. But remember we went in there in week four. It was our third game of the year, so week four. They had a game plan for Nathan Rourke defensively, and it took a couple big plays to let that one not slip away. And then even then, they came here in September. It was our Orange Shirt Day game in September, the Red Blacks. And I remember talking to Neil McAvoy after we beat them a second time. It's like, that team's not as bad as their record. So
at
some point, it's going to have to turn for Ottawa. They've dug themselves a big hole in the Eastern Division playoff race. I think Toronto can clinch first place this week, too, with a win in Montreal or a loss by Hamilton, I think it is. Crazy, crazy to think that they're going to have an Eastern final potentially wrapped up with 6 weeks to play in the regular season. But that's the way of the world. Ottawa, you know, moral of my story here, my long-winded story, the tangent I'm going off on, they've dug themselves a significant hole playoff-wise because they've lost three times to Hamilton now, right? Mm-hmm. So they're an extra 2 points back in the standings when you consider that. But it's going to have to turn for them at some point. We just hope it's not Saturday.
Yeah, and then like we talked about that, you really can't take this team lightly. But at the same time, you have to game plan and take advantage of their weaknesses. And what I'm eyeballing right now is that the Red Blacks, they allow nearly 400 yards of offense per game. So that's worse than the league. But their pass defense, like they're allowing 325 yards against per game, which is dead last. Well over 10 yards per completion against, which is dead last too. And then 33 completions of over 30 plus yards. So, I mean, it's a matter of executing with Vernon Adams Jr. and Alex Hollins and Keon Atcher and all the weapons in this offense, but the opportunity is there for the taking, and it's definitely an advantage on paper for BC, but again, as we saw on August 26th against Hamilton, it all really boils down to executing.
Yep, and hey, that's one of the themes we hit on with defensive lineman Josh Banks. Games not played on paper. He's going to credit a couple of these teams that with losing records here in this upcoming interview. Josh Banks, the Night Train, and we talked about asking about his nickname, the Night Train. Third-year BC Lions defensive lineman Josh Banks, the Night Train, we call him. And Josh, first of all, Who came up with the Night Train?
I think it was Coach Rick and Coach Yano. I think after a couple of plays on special teams, I think Coach Yano was cracking a few jokes, but it stuck after a while, calling me the Night Train.
See, that's interesting because we know you as a solid run stopper, plugging gaps, all that thing, but you've been known to lay the odd hit on special teams. I think back to that first game in Winnipeg where you had a big one, got the team fired up. How much do you thrive off those plays?
Honestly, that's my motivation to play. I mean, just trying to make an impact anywhere. So if I'm on field goal, if I'm on kick return, I just try to make an impact because I know that's everybody else's mentality, honestly.
Yep. So coming off a bye and a big win, obviously winning in that fashion will make a bye week a little more enjoyable, we say. What's the mindset here heading in to the final six games?
Momentum. Same momentum we went into Montreal with. We just want to keep it rolling because when BC Lions got all on the same page, we're a pretty good team. So I think just banking on that momentum and sticking with it because we play pretty well when we do.
What everyone went through last year, knocking on the door, coming close in the West Final, how much of a learning experience was that, you think, for the team when you factor in this stretch drive is going to be tough again?
I think it was definitely a learning chapter, but more importantly, I think it was can-do chapter. We saw that everybody on the team that we have can make an impact, and we can see where we can get when everybody is on the same page and make the same impact.
Ottawa here, they have a quarterback in Crum who can scramble a bit too. What do you see on film with this opposing offense?
I see a guy that carries this team pretty well. I mean, they have a good running back as well, but Crum, he does a good job making magic of what he can get. So he's gonna earn our respect just much like we're gonna earn his. So it's gonna be a good one.
When it comes to playing Ottawa this week, too, obviously playing another Eastern team that's at the bottom of the standings, but we found out the last home game against Hamilton that you can't really take any team for granted, right? But so how do you walk that line where you got to be confident playing at home, but you also can't take a team for granted?
Right? Oh, yeah. It's just like I'll bring up Edmonton every time. Great team, just had the wrong record at the wrong time. So we treat every opponent the same. Ottawa's, they're a good team. I was just talking with Betts how their three wins are good wins. So you can't look at the downfall. You should look at what they do good, because that's what they're going to bring their best out in with us. So.
Something I found fascinating with Montreal the other week, too, is I think you guys dressed, I think it was 10, maybe 11 if you want to count Pickett, as a defensive lineman. And you guys are literally doing, like, line changes when you guys are up on defense. Like, what's the benefit of that? Like, I know it keeps you fresh, but, like, with Coach Bowman, like, what's he trying to install with all that?
I think it's just putting bigger bodies in. We're not only big, we all can run. So I think being able to implicate all of us in special teams and all play on defense, because everybody is used. It's not no guy just standing there. So I think it's just making use of the good players we have, because we do have a good defensive line room for sure.
Last one for me, Wake Forest. What's the scouting report? Who they got this week and what's going on?
Oh, we just recently played Vanderbilt. I'm one game at a time. To be honest, man, them guys, they're going to win regardless. But we will see. I don't like to speak too early, because in Demon Deacons, we got a thing where the season lies where it lies. So we all will see where we end up.
That's a good mindset. All right, and hopefully we end up in the win column Saturday. Looking forward to it. Josh, thank you.
Thank you, baby. Take care, guys.
Excellent stuff with Josh Banks. He mentioned the Edmonton Elks in there, too. That's the next opponent for the BC Lions in Edmonton, and we know how much better Trey Ford and company are playing now. Old Faithful, Dean Faithful, with the last-minute field goal heroics in the Labor Day rematch. But we're going to focus on Ottawa here first and foremost. And Josh Banks, having himself a nice season in that interior defensive line, and they're going to be counting on that unit once again.
Yeah, and I think, like we talked with Banks, that it's really important for this defensive line to rotate and get all these guys in and keep them fresh.
Stay because,
like you said, we're facing Dustin Crum this week, and then Trey Ford's up next, and those are two guys that are going to make you, they're going to make you run steps for the full 60 minutes on defense, right? So, but it's good to have these guys rotation in and keep them fresh. And I mean, I think we saw that in Montreal; like they were literally going four at a time. It was one of the more foreign things I've seen in the CFL game, where four defensive linemen are switching out at a time.
Yeah.
And it
changing
to,
on the fly. Hockey.
It led to several sacks on Cody Fajardo, right? So it was a successful recipe that I think it's been one that really Coach Bowman has preached since he even came and joined this staff. And it's been warranting good results.
All right. We talked about the importance of the Lions running game, switching sides here. And this game, also a family affair, of course. Bob Dice, the Red Blacks head coach. Longtime Canadian Football League coach, career football lifer, heck of a guy too. His son Tristan Dice, of course, in his third year coaching the Lions running backs. We talked about that whole family dynamic going up against one another, and just how important this Lions running game is going to be for these final six games with Tristan Dice. Tristan Dice with us now, third year coaching the BC Lions running backs. Tristan, where's the time gone? Year three.
Yeah, I feel that same way. Time's flown by, and yeah, just enjoying every day of it.
It's good to hear. Let's talk about the progression here. We talked about it a lot. Over 100 yards rushing in Montreal, combining VA and Mizell's production. And a rushing touchdown by Smoke to help seal the deal. How pleased were you with that improvement?
I was very, very, very pleased with that. We were able to run the ball when it counted in the hammer time at the end of the game. We really iced the game in that fashion. So I was really, really pumped for Smoke and the whole team that we were able to do that.
And just overall, how would you say Smoke has adapted week by week here? Because remember, pretty healthy competition in camp. He emerged. How impressed are you?
Very impressed. He picked it up very well. What happened in 2022 was really unfortunate with him needing surgery right before camp. And he hit the ground running really well, improved every day, and he's done the exact same thing during the regular season.
How much are you stressing the need to establish a run and bring that physicality once again against an Ottawa team here that's been in some close games?
Yeah, doing that is always important. They have a really good run front. So, yeah, really, really trying to do that this week, really trying to establish the run.
Of course, Ottawa week means your father, Bob, on the other sideline. What's that like? Do you guys communicate during the week, or is it just you got to win, he's got to win, business as usual? What's it like?
So it is business as usual, but we do communicate. Like, I was just texting him when he gets in so we can meet up, have some food, catch up in person, because we only play him once this year. So, yeah, just trying to take advantage of that.
Of course, we did see you with your whole family in Winnipeg. It was they were on a bye week, so they're few and far between. But any friendly wagers on the line, or what's going on?
No friendly wagers, but usually he picks up the tab.
Well, that's always good. You got to go somewhere expensive in town, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's nice. It sucks not going to Ottawa because I get to keep my per diem.
Yeah, pocketing the per diem is always key. Nick?
Tristan, just the last home game, you know, Smoke did get a 25-yard catch on the very first offensive play of the game, but obviously not the result the team wanted. What's the message this week to making sure it doesn't happen again?
The message this week is just to execute your job, and if everyone does that, we're going to be just fine. We just got to be urgent and, just make every play count.
Have you guys, now that it's like the final stretch of the season too, the final six games, have you guys talked about like how more the run becoming more important, or is it kind of just status quo with the game plan and all that?
Just status quo. We know running the ball is important, especially later when it does get colder, but everything status quo. Everything status quo. We just want to keep on going. We obviously want to improve a little bit, but we're doing just fine.
All right, well, we look forward to hearing where dinner is on Friday night. We'll be sure to see you there, and let's get a win here, Tristan.
Yeah, let's get it up. Let's go. I want to be 5-0 against my pops.
Yeah, there you go. You heard it. Sweeps each of the last 2 years. Only get them once this year, right? So, very good. Love that, and that was cool. That first trip to Winnipeg, Ottawa was a little on the road here stories. Ottawa was on their bye week and stout for dinner at a restaurant downtown Winnipeg. I see Rick Campbell and Bob Dice sharing, breaking bread together. Of course, those two were on staff together with the Red Blacks before Rick moved to the West Coast. So it was a family affair, that first Winnipeg game, and we're hoping for a similar result, a convincing Lions win.
Yeah, and as Tristan said, looking to keep the undefeated streak alive against his dad too. So some... Didn't say there was a friendly wager, right? But that's something to definitely be competitive about when it comes to the win-loss record and going head-to-head.
Dad paying for dinner, too. That's what a dad's for. You like to hear that,
Love it, yeah, especially out in Vancouver.
Very quickly, we're going to talk about the rest of the games in Week 15, but it is Hall of Fame week in the CFL, Nick, and we want to get to this. We encourage those subscribing to this podcast, if you haven't listened, go back late March. We interviewed Solomon Elamimian, member of the 2023 Lions, Canadian Football League Hall of Fame class. He's a member of the Lions Wall of Fame, of course. But Solly going in, as is BC Lions all-time interceptions leader Larry Crawford, his son JP. We saw with the Seattle Mariners, a few of us went down. We'll talk more about the entertainment we've been enjoying here before this episode is out. Don't worry. Your ears are still ringing from Beyonce. But Larry Crawford's going in, and our defensive line coach, John Bowman, of course, a standout defensive end with the Montreal Alouettes for many years. And Montreal actually honored John with their other Hall of Fame inductees this year, including Josh Bork, Larry Smith. And that was cool to see how revered Coach Bowman still is in Montreal, will forever be in Montreal. But congratulations to the class of 2023. Friday is the Hall of Fame game, and John Bowman's going to be in Hamilton. We'll make a quick trip before coming back here to coach on Saturday. Love the Canadian Football League Hall of Fame. I've said this on the podcast a few times. I actually watched the 2021 Grey Cup in Tim Hortons Field in the club level, which is where the Hall of Fame busts are located, and can't beat that, watching the Grey Cup inside the Hall of Fame Museum. So that's always cool. Love the Canadian Football League Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's definitely super neat, and it was neat seeing Coach Bowman, too, because the ceremony in Montreal the other week, it happened at halftime, and I think it got delayed a bit delayed the start of the third quarter by about a minute or two, but
Coach was long. Yeah, it was a long intermission.
Coach Bowman was the last guy to go up, and they had kind of like a walkway almost, like an entrance to like the stage and everything, and I didn't realize that he was actually going to be a part of it and actually
neither did I.
The stage.
So
he's the last guy going up, and it's funny, too, because he's in his BC jacket, but he's walking up, and all these Montreal Bowman jerseys and all these fans are congratulating him. So, and then he just walked back over to the sideline and put his headset back on for the third quarter. But this week it'll be definitely very cool to see all the new inductees and obviously the very deserving inductees as well.
Hall of Fame game actually Saturday. Let's work backwards here then from the out of town scoreboard. Winnipeg in Hamilton. So those Bombers again riding high, 51-6, convincing win over Saskatchewan in the Banjo Bowl. And this Tiger Cat team, Nick, now 2 out of 3 wins. Of course, they got a win here, and they got it done in Ottawa last week. 5-7. Hamilton knocking on the door for second in the East now. The Alouette slump has been Hamilton's gain, just 2 points back. So the Tiger Cats have a lot to play for here as we hope for some help from them on this out-of-town scoreboard.
Yeah, that's what we were saying with Montreal kind of slumping down to 6-6, too. That's kind of been Montreal's story. I feel like they're going kind of 2 at a time. Like they're going 4-2, 4-4, 6-4, 6-6 kind of thing, right? And then they actually end the season against each other. So Hamilton goes to Montreal on October 28th. So that's shaping up to be a massive game in the Eastern standings, right? It could literally be a playoff game in a sense, right? Depending on how everything goes, but it's nice to see like the Riders are right back in it too, even though they got a split with Winnipeg. I think that's all you can really ask for, and they're right back in it, right?
So you don't want to lose the way they lost, but they're probably
bigger picture
doing cartwheels over the fact they got one win against their rivals. So that's right before us, 1 o'clock Pacific time. So those who are late to their seats against Ottawa, don't fret. Maybe there's always a possibility of a short delay if the first game.
Do you remember last year the delay we had? It was a Red Blacks game. Like we were watching the Red Blacks.
Yeah.
On the big screen. Remember they were playing Montreal? And I don't want to throw them under the bus, but the Red Blacks are coming back late in the fourth quarter, and Darvin Adams dropped like a gimme touchdown to win the game, and we're all watching it from the Jumbotron
on the screen.
People are like, oh, I in disbelief that he could hang on to that, but that's one memory I have with those doubleheaders.
The things you go through on the job when delays are happening, and a little bit of, we can laugh about that now. No laughing matter for the Red Blacks, but hopefully it's, maybe we'll get Dalton Schoen or Rashid Bailey with a bad drop or something if we're watching the delay. Yeah. You never know.
And we got that help last year in Hamilton.
Exactly. Kept first place alive, right? Mm-hmm. Doubleheader Friday as well. Edmonton in Saskatchewan. The Rough Riders 6-6 after losing there. Edmonton 3-10. They've won 3 out of their last 4 games. So again, this Trey Ford story, everyone kind of focusing on that. That's something you have to be excited for if you're an Elks fan and if you're a fan of seeing young Canadian quarterbacks succeed. Probably not going to make the playoffs despite this recent run of success, but clearly playing for pride, playing for jobs, players, coaches alike. And we'll be pulling for Edmonton because we want to keep Saskatchewan as far back in the rearview mirror as we can.
Yeah, it's a must-have for the Elks here on Friday, and they've been to Sask already, too. Remember the infamous Rouge play at the end.
Yep, CJ Sims.
Yeah, just, right? It's proving costly, yeah. Right? Because imagine if Edmonton had 4 wins and Sask had 5 instead, right? So this game would literally be for third place at this point in time. But like Edmonton, they're kind of the talk of the CFL right now with Trey Ford, just getting obviously winning football games, but it's been kind of in dramatic fashion, win or lose, right? Like the first game, they're 22-0 lead and they blow that, but then they make a big fourth quarter comeback last week against Calgary, and it's good to see, right? It was kind of tough to see Edmonton winless, and I mean, we were part of that shutting them out twice, but it's good to see them back and being competitive and putting up offense and making exciting plays, right? And especially with the Canadian quarterback, we saw how monumental that was with Nathan Rourke last season, and see if Trey can continue that trend. I mean, like, he's got the skill set he has is pretty crazy, right? So we'll see what happens with his future.
Yeah, I'll be glued to the TV on Friday night watching this doubleheader. Mentioned it earlier, the Toronto Argonauts, if they improve to 11-1 in Montreal, would clinch first place in the East with 6 games to play. Is that a good thing?
Well, they don't have a bye.
That's, yeah.
So they can kind of make their own buys, right? With
We've seen a lot of teams clinch early. It goes one or two ways. Either they come out really motivated and they're healthy because they've had the luxury of resting. We've seen teams self-destruct in a division final. But hey, you know what? Toronto would not trade this success for anything right now. No. But yeah, thankfully, we have a bit of a race for second. And Ottawa and kind of has work to do to get out of the hole that they're in, like we mentioned. But Toronto, with a win in Montreal, would clinch first place and guarantee home field for the Eastern Final for a third straight year. Toronto would also clinch first place, I believe, if Hamilton loses to Winnipeg. But Chad Kelly, obviously the story, he's been paid a lot since we last spoke on this podcast. Defense and special teams, Javon Leak, always a threat to flip the field or score when he gets the ball. Toronto is full marks for their 10-1 record, Nick.
Yeah, they're a super deep team, so even if they are able to clinch this first place berth early, I mean, they can kind of, like we said, create their own buys and choose to rest not everybody at certain points, but kind of like almost switch guys in and out, right? Because they got the depth to do it. I mean, Andrew Harris is pretty much a backup slash like closer running back for this team, right? Which is crazy.
A fresh guy to bring in on second down or whatever you need. Yeah.
Yeah, and this O line they have too. The statistics with their sacks is insane. Like they've given up, what's the actual number? They've allowed 10 all season, and it's been at that number for weeks. So Chad Kelly is literally not getting sacked. Like, period. Not figuratively. He's literally not going down. So that's super beneficial to their offense, obviously, and he's been airing it out, and DeVaris Daniels having a career year for them, right, too, and some other guys emerging. So I still have that, like, that loss we had there, it still kind of stings, right? I still have revenge on my mind. At least it's a long way away, but it's unfortunate we don't get to see them again, because I would really like to see them come to BC Place and see where we stack up with home field against the Argos. But maybe that matchup's coming down the road.
Didn't work out well for Toronto at BC Place last year.
Yeah,
and then they win the Grey Cup. Yeah. So we're going for the reverse effect this year. Lots of work to be done. Plenty of football left. BC Lions, by the way, cannot clinch a playoff berth this weekend. Unlike what I tweeted on the weekend when Calgary lost, I was just doing math, Nick. Long story short, it's very remote. It is still mathematically possible for the Lions, Rough Riders, and Stampeders to all end up tied at 9-9. If that were to be the case, and then their records against each other are all a combined 3-3. So basically...
Coin toss?
No, well, wouldn't that... It's not soccer, bud. Come on. Don't they flip a coin sometimes in soccer if all the tiebreakers...
I think like every sport has the flip a coin.
Like buried way down like
20,
there.
20 tiebreakers.
You know, the NFL and baseball do, for sure. So... it comes down to point differential against the other two teams. The Lions are currently plus 43 against Calgary and Saskatchewan. I spoke with Steve Daniel, the head statistician for the CFL today, about this. So basically, for the Lions to lose that tiebreaker, if it happened, they'd have to lose by 22 twice to Saskatchewan on September 29th and Calgary our last game of the year. I think we're okay. But mathematically, it's not a 100% certainty yet. So win Saturday, have Calgary lose next week, or win our next two, and we're in. Now, if Calgary didn't have a bye this week, we could clinch this week with a win and a loss by Calgary. But Calgary having a bye kind of puts the whole dagger into the possible ability to clinch.
The big party.
The magic number's two. Two more wins or one more win and one more loss by Calgary. The Stampeders home to Montreal next Saturday. So could get the X next to our name in the standings with wins against Ottawa and then Friday in Edmonton, or win one of those and have
Calgary.
That's
some deja vu, hey?
What's that?
Going to Edmonton to clinch a playoff berth potentially?
Yeah. We clinched second last year for sure there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Second last game
of
the year.
Just made me think, yeah.
So there you go. Very quickly, review time. Beyonce, how was it?
Incredible. First concert at BC Place, so shout out BC Place. It was really cool. It was kind of strange being there. I was looking at like the tunnel where we come out, and I was in the upper deck, so it was just a weird vantage point, like a unique vantage point for me. Not really. We're always on the field, right? So it's just different. But Beyonce, incredible visuals. Would highly recommend going to her concert just for the performance. I'm not like a huge Beyonce fan, so I probably knew like maybe half the songs, but I still had a great time. And then you guys got to go to Seattle last week yesterday for the Mariners game.
Saw the Mariners and the Angels. No Shohei Ohtani, no Mike Trout. Big reasons we originally decided to go see this baseball game. Stephen Chang, Liam Thompson, and I, you opted for Beyonce, which is fine. That's not a bad other option. And things got a little crazy. The Mariners and Angels were 3-3, bottom of ninth. Seattle, bases loaded, nobody out. Couldn't cash in the winning run. Then top of the 10th, you saw a two-run Angels homer by Brandon Drury to put them up 5-3. People start to leave. But then who else? Julio Rodriguez, two-out, two-run homer to tie it in the bottom of the 10th, and then the Angels poured it on in the 11th. So Mariners falling out of a wild card when we saw them on Monday night.
And the Blue Jays are still in a wild card?
Blue Jays are the, yeah.
Okay, just let me get that across.
Well, I want the Blue Jays to beat Texas now because we need Texas to fall out for the Mariners to get back in. So both the Mariners and Blue Jays can get in and play each other again. Everybody wins.
I'm thinking way ahead here, but October 13th, where does that rank for baseball playoffs? That's like divisional round, is it not?
Yeah, maybe we could see some baseball playoffs.
You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hamilton
trip? We'll look this up after. Take the GO train up to the Sky Dome or the Rogers Center.
Well, you suggested last year, like, because the Riders were in Hamilton that night before our Toronto game, and you suggested.
I think you were
half serious, right?
But then we decided to go to the Mariners Blue Jays wild card game.
But
instead.
We probably could have done both.
Yeah, we could.
That was like a 3 o'clock. We're revisiting history here.
Yeah, but it's a time thing, right? So we're either going to spend way too much time on the train or we're going to spend all our per diem on an Uber going to Hamilton. It just wasn't.
A lot of sports, too.
Yeah. Maybe. And you know what's funny? My main motivation for wanting to do that last year was the fact we didn't go to Hamilton last year. That way we could say we went to every stadium this year.
Well, but let's go to Ottawa then instead.
Yeah.
Night before.
Great time. Yeah. Great time of year for sports. The baseball race is heating up. The NFL is shaping up. Week one in the books. Aaron Rodgers. We were having dinner before the baseball game at a place near the ballpark, and we saw the Aaron Rodgers injury. It's like, uh-oh, what's going on here? And sure enough, he is lost for the year. Hopefully he's able to come back next year, but wouldn't count him out.
Need him back. Yeah, that was devastating to see.
I
watched all Hard Knocks too. I was so excited for the Jets this season. It was all about him and his really rejuvenance in that franchise.
Was going to make that AFC East even more exciting. Yeah. You know, Miami maybe is going to be the team poised now to knock off Buffalo if someone's going to knock off Buffalo.
Well, the Jets are still 1-0.
Jets are 1-0. They have a good defense. Yeah. We shall see. Not overreacting to anything in week one, although my 49ers look pretty unstoppable in Pittsburgh, but there's a lot of football to play.
Yeah. Give it 3 years for Anthony Richardson and the Colts, and they'll be a complete wagon again.
They're on their way, I'm saying.
It's positive signs.
So they're not going to have a different starter next year? They've had like seven new starters every year.
I'm in on him. He's exciting.
He's going to be special. He's fun to watch. I caught snippets of that game in the office here. Back off the bye on Sunday. All right, this has been great. First and Now, subscribe, rate, leave a review. Again, we encourage you, check out our Hall of Fame interview with Solomon Elamimian from earlier this year. Love, Solly. Congrats again to the class of 2023. Lions Red Blacks presented by Pepsi. on Saturday. Future Stars Night, amateur football players will be pregame and halftime on the field. Backyard party presented by Play Now Sports underway at 1. $5 Molson beverages, $5 barbecue food options, so you know where Nick will be before warm-ups.
Nice brisket.
Tickets start at just $25, bclions.com, and we're back next week on First and Now.